We're going to read the scriptures this morning from Romans chapter 8. We have been so used to hearing Romans chapter 12. We are going back for just a little bit to Romans chapter 8. We'll read a few verses there from the chapter as we have our second message this morning on Luther and the Reformation that God graciously granted 500 years ago. Beginning to read today at the 18th verse of Romans chapter 8, the Apostle says, by the inspiration of the Spirit, these words that we need to give our careful attention to, for I reckon that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us. For the earnest expectation of the creature waiteth for the manifestation of the sons of God. For the creature was made subject to vanity, not willingly, but by reason of him who hath subjected the same in hope. Now notice the reference to hope is in special regard to the future. Verse 21, because the creature itself also shall be delivered from the bondage of corruption into the glorious liberty of the children of God. For we know that the whole creation groaneth and travaileth in pain together until now. And not only they, but ourselves also, which have the first fruits of the Spirit, even we ourselves groan within ourselves, waiting for the adoption, to wit, that is, the redemption of our body. For we are saved by hope, but hope that is seen is not hope. For what a man seeth, why doth he yet hope for? But if we hope for that we see not, then do we with patience wait for it. Amen. We end our reading there at verse 25. And we trust that the Lord will bless this brief reading to our hearts for His own name's sake. And we trust that the Spirit of God will bless our meditation today as we consider especially verses 24 and 25 as our text. For we are saved by hope, but hope that is seen is not hope. For what a man seeth, why doth he yet hope for? But if we hope for that we see not, then do we with patience wait for it. We look today at another, from another angle, at the life of Martin Luther. And he was used to change the world in his day. Last week we thought about Luther's honesty, and today we are considering Luther's hope. We use the term hope in different ways. Yesterday, I stood at the coffin that contained the mortal remains of one of my father's first cousins. He had lived for 90 years on the earth. And I would love today to be able to say that I believe that that dear man had a solid hope for a glorious eternity. But all I can say is, I hope so. You see, there are two different senses in which that is used. There is such a thing as having a very settled hope. And then there's this iffy thing that I would hope the best, but I have no conviction regarding that. If I had ever heard him say that I'm relying only on Christ's atoning work that he has done for me, and I'm relying on nothing that I have done to save me, then I would have a very good hope rather than just a wishful hope. If I had heard such a solid testimony like that, then I would be assured that all is well with him this very day. Well, looking at Luther's hope, I would simply point out from this scripture the negativity of hope. There's something here that hope is not. The invisibility of hope, not that which you see. And then the futurity of hope. So first of all, the negativity of hope. If you go back, as we were last week, even thinking some of the young life of Luther, as a young man, he had no hope at all. He was trembling, very often afraid to die, and afraid to face the absolutely holy God. He realized that he had never done enough good works that would stand for him, that could justify him for all eternity. He was convinced of that, and thus that added to his misery. Looking forward, he could only dread the long, terrifying tortures of the fires of purgatory that he believed awaited him. Now, the very idea of purgatory had been devised from ancient mythology and from the imagination of some of the Hebrew scribes. The idea of purgatory was put forth in order to somehow make immoral people to act better, to make them afraid. Well, Luther's hopelessness and dread of divine punishment for his own sins finally culminated in his becoming a monk. And he said it over and over again, that his purpose in being a monk was, first of all, to save his own soul by accruing enough merit. Some of us played that game. We didn't know we were, but we were depending on all that we could do. We were depending on our Bible reading. We were depending on our daily prayers. We were depending on our service to the Lord and our certain lifestyle. And we didn't find any peace in that route. His first purpose in becoming a monk was to accrue enough merit to save his own soul. But he also hoped to be such a holy man that he could also provide some merit for his elderly parents and family in order to shorten their time in purgatory. But as the years of afflicting himself and damaging his health so that he would ultimately die at age 62, as I look at that, I look at it as a relatively young man. Yes, and his hopelessness only enlarged as he beat himself, as he suffered and harmed his health. It was a dead-end street. But God had mercy upon that poor monk and provided him with a real hope. So we turn from the negativity of hope. He had no hope. We turn from that to the invisibility of hope. Romans 8:24. But hope that is seen is not hope. For what a man seeth, why doth he yet hope for? Although Luther could not see his way ahead other than by his own works, yet he continued to pursue his idea of salvation. He said, if ever a monk could be saved by monkery, I will be that monk. So with all of the energy that a man could muster, Luther endeavored to press forward. And this is a wonderful lesson. This is a wonderful lesson. Because that determination and that pursuit ended in a blessing. Because God, in His providence, was giving him help as he was going forward. But here's a shameful reality for many of us who name the name of Christ. There is so much spiritual laziness and pampering of the flesh in our lives. Luther had very little light to work with. And we have the whole Word of God. He did not have this book the whole time he was going through this struggle. But we have the whole Word of God. And yet our zeal is often so pitifully week. I don't feel like having my devotions today. I got a catch in my back. I have a headache. I think I'll just not pray today. I just don't feel like it. Well, I scolded and I shamed myself last night because after hours of study, I found myself tired and unable to press onward. So going home, I found those at work in our house excited about many of the football games that were in progress. And I was amazed that my sluggishness was suddenly aroused and my sleepiness was temporarily stayed and replaced with something of an interest in what they were, you know, talking about. But can't we say that all of these temporal and earthly things are passing away and will not matter in eternity? And you don't have to go very far into the future where they won't matter at all. Our lives are quickly passing from us, and we are hastening through this world. God in His providence had put a desire in Martin Luther for eternal life. He knew that there was more. There had to be more. He believed that there was something ahead worth pursuing with all of his might, with all of his being. And what a lesson for us as God's people. Although he couldn't see it yet, he kept following with earnest desire. And I believe that desire was given by the Lord. Now we see through a glass darkly. Like the people of faith in Hebrews 11:13, not having received the promises yet. I'm going to give you a very literal translation now. But yearning for them. Not having a clear sight of them. Because the word for seeing them is not the normal word for seeing. It has the idea of caring more than seeing. Caring for those promises. Yearning for them. Not yet having a clear sight of them. God had given Luther just a tiny little ray of hope. And he continued to pursue it with all of his zeal. See our text there. Verse 24 of Romans 8. For we are saved by hope. But hope that is seen is not hope. For what a man seeth, what doth he yet hope for? But if we hope for that we see not, then do we with patience wait for it. And that's what Hebrews 11:13 is talking about. The promises were there. And they cared for them, even though they were far off. They couldn't really see them as we would see one another. But they embraced them. We have looked a little at the negativity of hope and the invisibility of hope. But finally, let us think about the futurity of hope. Our text, why doth he yet hope for? We with patience wait for it. Hope inevitably regards the future. We hope in regard to the future. Luther had a lot of hope. On October 31st, 1517, he was only hoping for one thing. That was, let's have a debate, a public debate to thrash out some of these theses that I've set forth. Let's publicly argue them out. Logically considered them. That was all he was looking for. He was just hoping for a debate. He was not wanting to change the world. Only to make some corrections in the church. He hoped to help the church. Well, once the Reformation got underway, Luther did have some other hopes. Luther hoped that now that the truth of God's Word, and people were reading the Scriptures in their own language. He was hoping that it would be as Paul said in Romans, that it would cause the Hebrew people that were around him in Germany, that it would cause them to turn to their Messiah, Jesus of Nazareth. In the early years of the Reformation, Luke really entertained great hope for the conversion of the Jews. He talked about it. in a glowing manner. He was looking forward to what was going to happen with him. They're going to see. He was hoping. Once the Reformation in Germany was spreading, Luther hoped that through the education of the children and the young people, that's where his hope was. Christian education for our children and our youth, so that the next generation will be more godly and stronger than we are. He was deeply burdened with the wickedness and the sin of the people that sat regularly listening to his preaching. Luther's hope was in the sanctifying power of the Holy Spirit, using the Word of God that had set him free. That the Spirit of God would apply the Word. His cry to God for himself and for his people was that God would make them a holy people. That was his passion and desire. Luther hoped that the kingdom of God, that is the whole kingdom of grace, would be extended in the lives of his people by the application of the Word of God and by the work of the Spirit of God taking the Word. He was hoping that that would go far and beyond to other countries all over the globe. But this is a very interesting thing. Luther had a special great hope and expectancy regarding the second advent. He sincerely believed that the coming of Christ was very near. And I don't appreciate some of the things that are sometimes said about the Reformers, that they did not concern themselves with thinking about Christ's second coming. Luther was eaten up with it. He sincerely believed that the coming of Christ was very near. As he studied the book of Daniel and the book of the Revelation, he thought that the coming of Christ would definitely be in his own lifetime. He believed that. And Luther hoped for Christ's coming. Why? Because he saw the threat of Islam in regard to Europe. The invasion of the Turkish hordes coming from the east, overcoming various Eastern European countries. He was looking at that, the Islam coming. And then he was considering Charles V, the emperor, who wanted to crush him and destroy him and shut out all of Protestantism and massacre the whole bunch. But you know, God was actually using in his great providence those two things. Because Charles V had to be so taken up with what's happening on the frontier with these Islamic hordes. But that's not all he had to worry about on the east. He had to worry about the west as well, because the intrigues of the Pope and the fightings of the various kings of the European nations, that was taking a lot of his time and his energy, and the stress finally broke the emperor. He was not that old. And he was a broken man. So all of that God was using. But Luther was thinking, it's going to be the end just any time now. And that was his hope. For the Lord to come. Yes. Even so come, Lord Jesus. Well, dear Christian, let us remember the words of Christ in regard to that subject. And I've heard people say this all my life. I only had one so far. But anyway, I've heard people say this all down through the years. But you remember what Jesus said in Matthew 24, verse 6. Ye shall hear of wars and rumors of wars. See that ye be not troubled. For all these things must come to pass. Now listen, but the end is not yet. Listen. For nations shall rise against nation, and kingdom against kingdom. And there shall be famines, and pestilences, and earthquakes in diverse places. We know about that. There are pestilences, there are famines. People do not have food to eat. And many people, even after these destructive storms have not even had water to drink. But what does the Lord say? The end is not yet. You're going to hear of wars and rumors of wars. You're going to hear about all these calamities. All these are the beginning of sorrows. How many times have the inhabitants of earth experienced these things? But you know what the important thing of the whole matter is oftentimes completely missed. People are taken up with thinking, oh yes, yes, it's got any moment now. But what does Jesus say? The important matter is that he gives a command, an imperative right in the middle of this. Christ commands, see that ye be not troubled. Now that word, troubled, is a very interesting word. It literally means, Jesus says to his people, see that ye be not alarmed. See that ye be not terrified by these things. So what do we need to do? The Lord makes it very clear what we need to be doing. Luther had a hope. 1 John chapter 3, verses 1 and 2. And we see him. What manner of love the Father has bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God. It doth not yet appear what we shall be, but when he shall appear, we shall be like him when we see him as he is. But what does the rest of it say? Every man that hath this hope in him, this hope of seeing him and being with him and being like him, every man that has this hope purifieth himself, even as he, that is Christ, is pure. So what is the imperative in the midst of all of it? Don't be alarmed. Don't be terrified. Our duty is to be purified. And how in the world could we be purified? Luther had this purifying hope. It drove him to constantly give himself to prayer and to the study of the Word of God every day. Now, dear Christian, real hope in Christ will make you like Christ. It purifies us. It purified Luther. Christ had sessions of prayer every day. And he prayed regularly with his people, with his disciples, with others. He constantly spoke and read and meditated on the written Word of God. That's where his mind was, taken up with that. So, I ask you today, dear Christian, do you have real hope? The Holy Spirit says that those with real hope purify themselves. So these questions are in order. Do you purify yourself by sessions of daily prayer? Luther said if he did not spend hours a day in prayer, his day was wasted. Do you even spend 5 minutes, 10 minutes, 15 minutes a day in prayer? There's good reason for that. Do you purify yourself by sessions of prayer? Do you pray every day? Do you pray with the disciples regularly, with other believers regularly? Do you speak? Do you read? Do you meditate on the Word of God every day? I ask you then, can you say that you have a real and solid hope? The Spirit of God says that every man that hath this hope in him purifieth himself even as he is pure. I looked into a dead man's face yesterday. One day, that face will be your face. One day, that face will be my face. Are you prepared for that day? Luther was. At age 62, as Martin Luther was lying on his deathbed, he was hoping to die. And he was hoping for God to take him to himself. He was tired. He was full of pain. He was weary. And he was ready. He had a hope. Let us pray together. Our Father in heaven, we praise thee in Jesus' dear name, that thou hast provided not an if so wishful hope for thy people, but thou hast provided a well grounded, solid, steadfast hope for thy people. Lord, what a blessing it is to be delivered from the shackles of guilt and doubt and fear and hopelessness. Lord, we pray that thou wilt take thy word and sanctify our hearts as Christians. Lord, help us to be actively engaged in a world that is so troubled that people are despairing of life. Oh God, we pray that thou wilt help us not to be alarmed or terrified, but rather to obey the command of Christ that we be purifying ourselves daily. Oh Lord, we pray for any in this gathering that are like Luther was, like we were, thrashing around in misery. Oh God, we pray that thou wilt draw believing sinners to rely only on the perfect life and the atoning death and blood of our Lord Jesus Christ. And now, may the love of God the Father and the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the fellowship and communion of the Holy Spirit abide with us. Amen.